The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 40 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Coming to Terms with a Terminal Illness.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're made compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to them for always supporting Boomer Esiason Foundation educational initiatives. All right, so this week's topic is obviously a little more heavy than normal. We're talking about death. That's something that people, I think, love to talk about, especially in this day and age. That's obviously something that comes along with CF, because CF is a terminal illness. And the reason we're talking about this is because we got a question recently from the mother of a young kid with CF, and his friends in school learned that CF is a terminal illness, or it's an illness that can cut a life short. And he started fielding questions from these kids, and he didn't really know how to answer it. So Julie and I are going to talk about the moments in which we've sort of figured out that CF is in fact terminal, meaning that there is no cure for it, and that it is a life-shortening illness, and how we sort of continue with that in mind. I think the best place to start here is the discussion about the life expectancy of somebody with CF, and I think the life expectancy is really one of those things that's kind of casually tossed around in the CF world, especially, anything with a medical twist on it. And the reason that is because people obviously want to, have an answer. They want to know how long they can sort of expect to live with, something that they're either A, dying from, or something that they're facing, whether it be cystic fibrosis or cancer or something like that. I think it's definitely just part of the disease.
Yeah, for sure. I think the surrounding people too want to know, maybe even more so than I want to know, which is why I think friends are probably asking this young child, because out of curiosity and kind of just wanting to know. And I think that is why it's kind of tossed around the way that it is too. I think you're right that people just want to put a label on it. It's much easier to put a label on something and kind of put it in a box.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Obviously no one loves being labeled. You're automatically determined that, some textbook somewhere says that you're going to live to be 47 years old, or, statistical, formulation says that. I think that when you really dive in deep and you explore the life expectancy, there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration. One, that people with CF, there are people out there who do die very young. People who, were diagnosed at sort of a weird point and that they never really had a chance, or people who go into the lung transplant phase and they unfortunately can't make it all the way through. And then there's also people on the other end of the spectrum who are diagnosed very late in life because they have symptoms set on, in their 50s or 60s, because they think they had pneumonia their entire life or something like that, and they never truly had CF. So, there are statistical anomalies out there that, go into the whole life expectancy thing, and that's personally why I don't really, hang
take
my hat. Exactly. I don't really hang my hat on it, because every single person with CF is so different. And I think we're starting to realize that there are more personalized cases of CF.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I think the lifespan completely doesn't take any of that into account. And that's why I think it's frustrating. And I think you've said this before too, when people do hang their hat on the lifespan, because it's well, if you look at every single case of CF, you'll realize that it's impossible to put that kind of button on, it as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, we all do have a lot of similarities. There are certain aspects of the disease that everyone sort of has to deal with. Right. But, you know, you and I are very different in the sense that, for example, your pancreas works fine and mine doesn't work so great at all.
Yeah.
You know, those are two major, you know, variables in dealing with CF. You know, I think that also the life expectancy and the idea of life expectancy can be misused in a way that is supposed to be positive. Obviously, the life expectancy for people with CF has gone up in recent years because of the advance of, you know, medical technology and stuff like that. And in a way, I think people use it as a marker for success. And I hate when people do that. I hate when people are like, well, 10 years ago, the life expectancy was 40. Now it's 49. We made 9 years improvement. Like, oh, no, whoop-de-doo. That's great. Yeah. But like, what does that really, that, how does that change my life? That doesn't change my life in the here and now at all.
Right, quality of life, like, yeah.
So, sure. Like, I do think that, you know, the idea of life expectancy and the understanding of the way the life expectancy stat is used is, I don't want to say it's wrong, but I want to say that it's not beneficial to hang your hat on, and really, it's not a defining factor of the disease as a whole.
Right. Yeah, I would completely agree. And I do think it, you know, at least for me, I remember so vividly discovering that there was a life expectancy for CF and how that affected me at a very young age. Like, I know I was in fourth grade and, like, I can remember weeks at a time after realizing, like, crying myself to sleep and my mom sitting on my bed and trying to, you know, console me. And
but why, know, the, like, why were you crying? Like, what was the emotion behind that?
I think, you know, at that time, I think the life expectancy was 30, maybe even younger. And I think I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Like, and that realization was what made me cry. Mm-hmm. And kind of, that was when I started to ask, like, well, why me? Why, you know, like, I remember very vividly, like, looking around in my classroom going, like, well, wait, why do I have this? And those were those kinds of conversations that I was starting to have. And yeah, I mean, I think it is an emotional kind of realization when, if you do come upon that at a young age and face that at a young age, especially your classmates are asking you, I think it's a difficult conversation to have, and I think it's difficult to unpack. I think that is why the lifespan is not beneficial. Also, you know, like, eventually I got through it because I was like, okay, well, no one is guaranteed X, Y, and Z in their future. So I don't know why I think I should be able to get that guarantee, you know? And I think that's a hard thing to come to terms with at like 10 years old. Like, yeah.
Keep going.
You go.
Okay. So, all right. So I think what you're trying to say here is that, you know, the genesis of life really is that you're born and then you have the expectation placed upon you to pass on your genetic traits to the next generation. Like, that's sort of, without, you know, getting into science too much, like, that's the purpose of life, essentially, as seen through the eyes of, like,
the purpose of life and the circle of
Darwin or whatever. Yes, exactly. So, you know, I think the idea that may, opportunity may not be given to people with CF, or that there may be some hurdles in achieving that opportunity, is what ultimately is what slows people down. You know, I think, or not necessarily slows people down, but gives them time to pause and think about it. Like, it sounds like you did when you were in fourth grade or whatever. And, you know, I think it'd be interesting to know why, you know, it suddenly dawned upon you at that age and not at another age.
Yeah, I think I know why it did. I had my older brother with CF and we, you know, had access to the internet, and that was, you know, exciting and cool. And so we decided to Google CF together. So, terrible idea. And, you know, luckily we were both very open about our findings. And I think, you know, we've said this before, the internet can be a scary place. And especially back then, it was even scarier because the info was even more bare bones. And just, you know, the life expectancy was kind of right there and just like one of the only things you could hang your hat on. So that prompted quite a bit of questioning for my parents and a lot of kind of emotional turmoil for both my brother and I.
Yeah, I think from the eyes of the parents, it's obviously a question that you're never really prepared to answer when it comes from the kids. Like, it's one of those things that you don't really want to shy away from having to answer, or right. I can imagine that it's one of those things that you don't want to have to shy away from answering, but it's one of those things that you also hope that you never do have to discuss. You know, it's like the birds and the bees thing, like that is weighing on the minds of the parents. Like, is that eventually going to come up, and how am I going to explain that?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I think that's probably part of the, you know, the stigma that circles around having to discuss death with somebody that is at such a young age. And, you know, ultimately kids are in, you know, the innocent stage of life where they're just growing and they're trying to take everything in and they want to sort of become like their friends. You know, having been involved with the foundation, the BEF, for basically my entire life, the life expectancy stat is like always the first thing that is like thrown around at either events or when you're explaining CF. You're always like, CF is a respiratory illness, genetic respiratory illness, it affects this, this, and that, and this is how long people can expect to live. Like, that's like always like within the, it's always like within the first sentence, like that's where right. It is. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't want to say why I became numb to the fact that that's part of it. I'm sure I probably dealt with it in my own way, and I think the way that I dealt with it is that, like, why does that have to, you know, directly relate to my life? You know, it may one day that, you know, I may or may not make it to the average life expectancy, or I may surpass it. You know, there's no way of actually knowing. You can't see into the future. I think if you consume yourself right. with that fact, then
yeah,
you're,
and it may or may not,
not
be because of CF. Like, you know, not to be morbid, but like at a certain point, I also realized, like, all right, I mean, if I want to consume myself with this worry every day, like,
then you're hampering your productivity and your ability to be successful. You know, I think you have to come to grips with the fact that in your own way that you are living with something that is challenging, and it's something that can expedite the path through life. It's such a horrible way of putting it, but that's you know, that is sort of like, you know, one of the things that's happening here. I mean, the bottom line is you're born, you live, and then you die. That's just, those are the three stages of life. And
wait, really?
Yes, I know. Breaking news. And, you know, perhaps, you know, one of the worst things about being given the possibility of living, or the possibility, or being given the chance to live, is knowing that you will eventually die one day if you think of it in that way. And you know, maybe is our entire life the you know, the process of coming to grips with that realization, or is it something greater? Is the idea of living a life something to, you know, fulfill, you know, your dreams and your destinies and achieve things that you want to do? For me, I think life is about creating a bank full of memories, and then once you're sort of at the end there, being able to have that bank of memories to look back on. Like, that's, I think, the idea of life here. Like, when you look back on your life, and hopefully 70 years from now, will you have, you know, fulfilled all the things that you wanted to do?
Yeah, for sure. And I think again, if you consume yourself with the worry, you're wasting time that you could spend on other things. And I think eventually, like, what clicked for me was that, like, again, no one had that guarantee. You know, like, I remember being in the hospital at a young age and seeing other battles in comparison to mine. And I don't think comparison helps, like, in any, like, way in life. But, like, at least my perspective was changed in the sense that I was able to, like, take off the rose-colored glasses and say, like, okay, you know, yeah, everyone has their battle. This is mine. And I can either sit and wallow in it or just live my life the way that I want to.
Yeah, I think at some point you have to grab the reins and do it yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine with CF not too long ago, and she had a pretty nasty reaction to medication. And it sort of you know, it became a critical emergency situation for her. And she said in the moment she was absolutely terrified. And I was like, listen, you know, that those are scary things that happen. But you have to remember that you've gotten yourself this far. You know, you can't let something like that all of a sudden ruin the rest of your life. You just have to continue living your life at your own pace and on your own dime. You know, you have to basically take command. You can't let other things dictate to you how your life is going to go.
Right. Yeah. And I think my advice to like a parent struggling with this time for that young child that's being asked these questions, you know, honestly, I don't think my parents said very much. I think they allowed me to have this like emotional moment and they were there for me in that. But they also weren't going to pretend that it was, you know, easy or, well, it'll all be okay. You know, you can't really say that to someone, you know, and I actually think by virtue of not coddling me in that moment, it was actually beneficial for me to kind of take hold of the reins, you know, by virtue of not, of them not allowing me to just give in to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. You know, it's definitely not something that you can coddle someone through because it's a very heavy, significant topic. I also don't really have a specific memory of my parents ever telling, like, you know, sitting me down and being like, this is what you're dealing with, this is how it's going to go, and this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
I don't remember having ever done that. I don't think my parents ever did. And I don't ever think it was their intention to do that. Mm-hmm. I think they sort of let life go at its pace. And obviously, you know, you deal with second, third, fourth graders, and those kids don't have a filter because they haven't learned how to use a filter yet. You know, they haven't figured out what's appropriate to say in certain situations and what's not appropriate. You know, I do definitely remember, you know, being asked as a kid, like, you know, are you going to die from CF one day? And you sort of figure out how to answer it in the moment. And it's a learning, it's also a learning moment for the kid with CF because he's got to figure out how to answer these tough questions.
And you know,
some, exactly. And some of those tough questions may start coming in first, second, third grade. For other kids, it may start coming in seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. And they have to figure out how to answer them because then once they're out there in the real world, you know, if you don't know how to defend yourself or how to, you know, take responsibility of your own life, then you're in trouble, right? You have to be able to do these things for yourself and how to answer things for yourself and how to sort of advocate on your own behalf.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually just thought of something that my mom did suggest when I was going through this time when I was a fourth grader. I started journaling. And one of the things my mom suggested, and this is a practice that I go in and out of, but I know that when I'm in it, I actually just have a better attitude about life in general, let alone CF life specifically. But, you know, creating a gratitude journal, it sounds so silly, but it's so beneficial to your mindset. And like, honestly, writing three things, a list, it's not even if you're not a journaler, which guilty, like, I just can't sit for that long and talk about my day. I'd rather just like live my day. But like writing three things that I'm grateful for makes me kind of take myself out of the moment where I feel an overwhelming sense of why me, you know? And like stupid, it can be so silly, like what you're grateful for, like a really good apple, like literally that silly. But then you kind of realize what, how many things there are to be grateful for. It forces you to kind of go like, oh, I only have to write three things, but I could write 10, you know? And I do recommend that for anyone, CF or not, because it kind of helps take you out of your own, like takes you out of your head, first of all. And
yeah, I definitely agree with you because I think, first of all, the why me part of things, you know, why am I the one that has to deal with this? Why was I dealt this hand of cards? Is life unfair? You know, I think that is a very dangerous rabbit hole to go down because once you go down that rabbit hole, you start asking yourself all these different questions and all these different scenarios can start popping up and it's just not something that you want to deal with. And the reason you don't want to deal with that is because then you start like thinking existentially, you know, and life becomes unfair in more ways than one. And then you start sort of divulging into just a bad, bad area. And I certainly feel very fortunate that I am someone that has not ever felt that way. I was taught at, you know, at a very young age by my parents that, you know, life is unfair and the way that you overcome the unfairness of life is by working hard. So I think that's sort of the technique that I was taught by my parents. And it sort of sounds similar to the way that your mom spoke to you about choosing things that you're grateful for, because in wanting to, you know, in feeling grateful about something, you know, you want to strive to continue to have those things in your life. And right. Those things aren't going to be there every single day. You have to continue to go out and get them.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you're right. It is like an existential crisis question that it leads to. And I think it's easy to get there when you are faced with a battle like CF. And I think, you know, finding things that you are grateful for, you know, is just an easy way to kind of get yourself out of that rabbit hole and go, oh yeah, like I can handle this because I've got, look at all this that I have to be grateful for, you know, like, and we all have things to be grateful for. That is the other thing.
And
like,
they also have to outweigh the things that you're obviously upset about. And, you know, it's okay to be angry with your CF or frustrated. Like it's a shitty thing. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know? And I don't know if I can curse in this, but I guess I just did, you know, I think ultimately there are the frustrations and things that you have to cope with, and you have to identify them. You have to be like, this is something that is creating a lot of stress, a lot of frustration, or a lot of anger in my life. And for a lot of us, for people with CF, that is the idea of cystic fibrosis when it's inside of us. You know, I've been told before that, you know, I come off as an angry person from time to time, and that's like, I'm totally fine with that, and I totally get it, because that's just the nature of the beast that I'm living with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to let those positive things in your life outweigh the negatives. And I love the idea of looking at things you're grateful for, because that really puts a spotlight on it.
Yeah.
And it's also something that I think is really something everyone can do, because everyone has something in their life that is a positive. I mean, they may be more difficult to find than others for people who are dealing with, you know, greater amounts of stress. But at the end of the day, if you search hard enough, you are going to find it. And oftentimes something is sitting right in front of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember one day I was having like a really tough CF day. It was right after my first semester at college, and I had just been hospitalized, and I was like crying with my roommate. And I told her about what can we find to be grateful for? And she was like, I would kill for your nail beds. Like, literally, that is what she said to me. And that's like, oh, why am I not? And she's like, it's everything. It's literally right in front of you. It's literally right under your nose what you can be grateful for. And I think that is a practice that and looking for things you're grateful for is sometimes like fun too, because then you're like, oh, and I have that and that and that. It's like, it is a good practice, I think, and it flips everything else on its head, really.
I'm not sure I even know what a nail bed is.
It's just like, you know, great. I don't have like something you can do like nail polish nicely.
Okay.
It's a girl thing, totally. I'm glad you don't know.
I guess it's for the best that I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I am grateful for not knowing what that is. There you go.
I'm glad you don't know too.
That's the bottom one. So to circle back and then sort of conclude this discussion, I think, you know, it's something that people have to come to terms with on their own. And, you know, you don't have to glorify the idea of dying, or you don't have to sort of, you know, place, you know, all your marbles in the idea that you're one day going to die from CF. But on the same side, you don't want to fear, you know, you don't want to be fearful of it.
Yeah. And it is one thing that one part of CF that can be normalized, because newsflash,
it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone is destined to have that eventuality, except maybe Walt Disney, because didn't he like cryogenically freeze himself or something so that when they like cure death, they can bring him back or something?
Is that just a myth? Let's find out.
I don't know, but I think that's like taking things way too far. Like,
agreed. I don't want to come back. Like,
could you imagine, like, in like 2,000 years, like, Walt, they like wake him up and it's like, welcome to the year 4035, Walt Disney.
Scary.
Enjoy your new life in the future.
Yeah, in your hovercraft. Although I kind of want to see hovercraft. Now I'm thinking, reconsidering.
You're going to cryogenically freeze your dead body?
Yeah, yeah. But
that makes one of us.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I think that it is one aspect of CF that can be normalized. I don't think that as parents, you know, you should, you know, I don't think you should be coddling your children anyway about CF, because I think the best way to deal with it is kind of just one day at a time and taking it on and like eventually becoming independent, because they're going to live. That's the way they're going to be able to live a long and full life, is by taking it on themselves. So
I think the sooner that you understand that you're going to live with it and there's not going to be another path through life without it, at least for the foreseeable future until one day it's eradicated, I guess. But, you know, that's going to be the chance to, you know, divert that brain power away from being concerned with it and using it for a productive thing to help, you know, create some success. And, you know, but I think everyone sort of deals with that in their own way. Like when you have a cold or something, mm-hmm. you know, when anyone has a cold, all of a sudden you start like thinking about your morality and like, you're like, yeah. Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die. And you have like a stuffed up nose or something like that. But you know, the odds are that that's not going to happen in that moment. You just feel miserable. And you know, everyone feels miserable at one point or another, and you just have to get through it.
Totally.
And the best way to get through it is to keep your mind in a positive focus.
Yes.
Because if you let yourself be consumed by something, then it is going to consume you. That's just what's going to happen. You have to find. Absolutely. You have to get yourself out of that hole. And the best way to do that is to maintain positive thinking and overcome the hurdle that lies before you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And hence the gratitude journal is a good way to that positive thought. And also just using, you know, finding ways to use what you're passionate about and your talents, which leads us to our Making It Matter for this week. She is a 24-year-old living with cystic fibrosis in the UK, Halima Umar. I think I said that right. And she had a double lung transplant at the age of 10 years old, which is just crazy to me. But she's a fashion designer, and she has made her designs. I'm sure Gunnar will put a link on the blog to her designs, reflect life with CF and how she views it creatively and her scars. And she's kind of used this as a therapeutic way to make her scars beautiful, which is really amazing. And she's becoming quite successful with her fashion designs. So
I can't believe she had a lung transplant at 10. She's 24 now, and she's doing all this work. Like, that's that in itself is unbelievable. But to sort of use a incredibly negative thing inside her life and turn it positive and basically promote it in a way that's going to change not only her life, but hopefully the lives of people that she's able to touch. You know, that's, I think, what we're talking about here.
Yep.
Right. I think that's using, you know, your inner will and your inner strength to basically get out there and change the world and change the outlook for someone with CF.
Absolutely. And she talks about that in the article, too, about how, you know, it's a hidden disease, but she wanted to do something that created awareness and kind of helps her deal with it personally as well. So that is
making it matter right there.
Perfect. Yeah.
So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 40th episode of Make It Matter. I can't believe we're at episode 40 already. Remember, you can follow along with the weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarAsias.com or JuliaRay.com. And you can also follow us on iTunes. If you do, smash the like button, share and review the podcast. Make sure you do that. That is an important, important thing.
Do it.
And Instagram, you can follow us on Instagram, do the same thing there, like, share, review. The share thing on Instagram is the little arrow in the top right button. Make sure you share the Instagram thing as well. Our Instagram handle is
@makingitmatter_CF.
Very important to do that. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific like we did today, you can always get in touch with us on our Facebook pages. Or at my email, which is gunnersblog@assassin.org, or Julia's email, which is
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
We love hearing from you guys, and ultimately that's what gives us topics to talk about and things that are important for you to hear. This is Gunnar Assassin. Thanks for listening to us talk about death today. I know it's a super upper thing, but hopefully I think we covered it in a way that is not only motivating, but also something that sort of circumvents the stigma around it. You know, that's what we want to get through. We want to bust through that stigma and make it, you know, I don't want to say normalized, but we want to make it something that people can talk about and so, something that people can understand that is part of CF, and it's also something that should not be seen as a hurdle.
Absolutely.
So thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye, everyone.